Morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask you about the running back situation as it relates to the salary cap for the 49ers. I believe Lattimore, Hunter, and Malachi James account for a couple $1 million worth of cap this year, while I believe Frank Gore is $6 or $7 million. Can you just evaluate that situation as it relates to the cap, and is that number reasonable to continue to pay Frank Gore?
Well, the simple answer is there's no reason it can't be. You know, we're in good shape from a cap standpoint. So the decision on that, there's really no decision to be made. We can move forward exactly as is if that's what we choose to do. Easy group. No questions. We're just getting into that, you know, and like we've always maintained, our number one objective in the offseason is to take care of our own guys, to identify the guys that we feel we need on our football team moving forward, and then find a way to make it work and make it fit from a financial standpoint. And it's
Seattle
no different
Seahawks
this season.
Head coach Pete Carroll, podium C. Seattle Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll, podium C.
That's interesting. Dueling pianos.
Trade-off. Off topic a little bit, but this time of year, a lot of people talk about smoke screens and misinformation and all that kind of stuff. Just kind of what is your philosophy on distributing information and keeping things close to the vest? What advantages are there?
Well, the local guys would tell you there's a lot of advantage. I don't know what advantage there would be in giving out information. So, you know, we try to keep as much information to ourselves as we can. It's a unique process. There's obviously a lot of information coming in and going out. There's certain times there's smoke screens being made. But the number one thing that I've learned in this is the less you say, the better off you are.
How do you go about making sure that there aren't leaks or doing your best to try to keep that from happening?
Well, we're constantly evaluating what's in the papers. You know, we have our PR department looking for those types of things, and to find out, you know, when it's a team source that's made a decision to let something out of the building, and we address it. And our coaching staff, our personnel staff, I think do a very good job of keeping things close to the vest, and we'll hopefully continue to do that. I guess we're in that age, right, of social media. So we pay quite a bit of attention to it and, go through. Once we get the board narrowed down, we certainly don't start with a vast number, but as we narrow the board down over the next several weeks, we'll start identifying the players that we want to run a social media, take a look at their accounts and how active they are and what they're saying and what they're doing. So we do address it. Yeah, there are, and I think we all know what we're looking for, just how responsible they are in the use of it. I think you want to do that in every sport, right? I think baseball tries to do it. Basketball tries to do it. I think football is no different. You want to take away the middle of the field, and that's the best way you can do it is by having strength up the middle. So if you can do that in the game, you stand a very good chance of winning week in and week out. And so we place a big emphasis on that. Well, it's the standard. Everybody uses it, so you have to understand it, and you have to take a look at it. And you're always trying to win, right? We're in a competitive business, so you're trying to win the point battle. But sometimes it's just not worth it. Sometimes it makes sense to just disregard it and make the decision that you think you need to make to get the player you want. So the number one thing is targeting the players that you want, identify those, and find a way to go get them. Well, we're one of those teams that uses our own charts. So There are other teams that use their own chart, and there's several teams that use the same chart that we do. But you have to understand both of them, because some teams aren't willing to talk with you on your chart. They're only willing to go with the standard charts that's been used and developed for a long time. So there's flexibility in it. But once again, identifying the players is the critical thing. Finding a way to get them is the next step. Well, Michael Wilhoit and Nick Moody are both on the football team, and both have done a nice job. Nick's obviously a young guy still developing at the linebacker position, and Michael Wilhoit's a guy that has stepped in and played well when called upon. So we're going to address that. We're going to take a hard look to see if we need to infuse a little bit more competition into that position. And the number one thing regarding Navarro is making sure that he's 100% before we bring him back. He's not an individual, nor is any individual on our football team going to be rushed back into action. When he's ready to go, he's ready to go. And if that's mid-season, middle to late part of the season, whenever that is, that's when we'll bring him back to the field. Well, I don't want to answer for 31 other teams. I think when you look at it, I've maintained for a long time that that position has evolved a little bit. You see less and less of the bell cow backs and more of a rotation system. There's certain teams in the league, and we were one of them last year, that did predominantly use one back. But it's getting harder and harder to find those guys, and it's getting harder and harder for those guys to hold up at the NFL level. I think that certainly is a factor in it.
Has Frank surprised you the last results for a few years ago, late in the year, 3 and 5, 4 years later, he's still coming?
It, right? I mean, it's a tough position. There's so much that goes on from a mental standpoint, a physical standpoint. It's a very difficult position to play. Some have mastered it. Some are at that level of trying to master it, and some never will master it. So it's a position that I think it hasn't changed over time. It was difficult from the beginning, and it's still difficult. Jim plays a big role in the not only the quarterback position, but we've always worked hard together to try to identify the players at every position that fit our system. And that's the most important thing, is bringing guys in that not only fit your system, but fit the DNA of the type of players you're looking for. How's whose roles? There's been no change. We continue to work hard at it, and what we're trying to do is get it right for the 49ers. And the best way to get it right is for everybody to be on the same page and to work hard together and try to make the best decisions you can for the team, the organization as a whole. So, and we're going to continue to do that. So from that standpoint, nothing's changed. You ever read the book Blink? Keep it simple, right? The first time you look at a player, you're usually right. Your gut's usually right. And then through the process, you gather more and more information and you watch more and more film. And sometimes the process is so long and it's drawn out another 2 weeks that you end up talking yourself out of that first impression. So I always go back to the book Blink. And if you've read it, you understand where I'm coming from. If you haven't, you should. It's a great book. I can. I like long arms. You know, that last year's draft should tell you that. I think length's important. It's important in every sport. And, you know, Alden Smith, great leverage player because you can't get to him. He's 36 arm length. You know, all of the guys last year on the D-line were 34 or more. I think it's an important trait. It's a trait that's hard to find. If you look at this year's measurements, you're not going to see many players in this year's draft that are 34-plus arm length, regardless of position, O-line, D-line, linebacker. So it is a trait that we certainly look at. Nothing, you know, and I don't mean that in a negative way. Eric was a young man that we identified on film, and we're film guys. You know, what they do here, we gather the numbers like everybody else, but it still comes down to the film. What do they do on film? And that remains the most important thing for us as evaluators, and it will continue to moving forward. Funny, I mean, I just talked to Alden yesterday, as a matter of fact. He's in Vail. He's having a good time away, and we keep in contact regularly. And we've got a great support system, and Alden's done an outstanding job of utilizing that support system, and will continue to. We're in the process of addressing all of that, you know, with our free agents. I'm sure I did. Anytime you get injured, it takes away from your growth as a player. So it was a little bit of a rocky road for Quentin. But the amazing thing about him is just how resilient he is and how much fun he, you know, I talk about Frank and how much he loves the game. And I think if you asked anyone on our football team, give me the top two or three guys that just love to play, Quentin's name's probably going to come up quite a bit. He loves being on the field, loves practicing, loves being in the building. He's a great teammate. He's a hard worker. So he's going to bounce back from that. And I think you saw toward the end of the year that he had already started to make a leap. And we've always maintained that the most growth that takes place is between year one and year two. And I would expect that to happen in Quentin's case. I think he could play inside and outside. You know, he's a very smart football player. He works very hard at the game, and his skill sets translate inside and out. A
couple more. Do you guys have any expectations for Tank Carney, Corey Lemon, their second year? What do you expect to see? Where's the Tank after?
Tank's in a good place. He really is. He's worked awfully hard. Tank's, I think, pushing 290 pounds right now. He's had a great offseason, really, that started at the beginning of this year, right? He got on the active for a little while, then was put back down. But he's done an outstanding job, and expect big things from Tank. Yeah, well, the local guys just asked me the same question, and all I can say, it's a crowded backfield. And Frank, you know, had an awfully good football season. I think Coach mentioned yesterday, A++. You know, Frank had that kind of year, and it's tough. And there's certain game plans where LaMichael was meant to play a little bit bigger role than he ended up playing, but that's the game. And every game you go in with a plan, and sometimes that plan changes based on what you're seeing and what the other team's doing. So you got to be flexible. And it's up to LaMichael. It's up to every player. And we tell every one of our players this. It's up to you to earn time on the field. So it's not as much what he hasn't been doing, but as much as what Frank has been doing. Well, I think if you've watched us play, you understand how complicated that position is and how many different hats, you know, Vance had to wear this year as a rookie. That's a very difficult thing. And I think when you have as much volume as we have, and he's put in as many positions as he's put in, it's such a learning curve. So it really takes away from your physicalness, physicality, your physical traits, because you're thinking your way through the game. So I think there's going to be a big jump with Vance next year and what he's able to bring to this football team. And yeah, the game's going to slow down for him, and we felt very good about how he played this year and performed, especially when you consider all the things that we were asking him to do.
Last one. A player like Jermaine Brockie, a scout from undrafted, signed to a four-year extension. Is that a rewarding process for the scouting department to identify a player like that, have the coaching staff work with him and find that gem?
I think it's more rewarding for the player. You know, really proud of the player. Tremaine's a young man that's put an awful lot of hard work into his craft. And, you know, when I look at the development that he's made as a player and as a person, how can you not be happy for that individual? So he's earned everything he's gotten. He was a $500 free agent signing after the draft. And it's all on him because of the way he came in and worked at it.